Ready? Steady? It starts. Patrice suffered long. Patrice is kind. Patrice does not envy. Patrice does not parade himself. He's not puffed up. Patrice behaves rudely. Patrice does not seek his own. He's not provoked. Patrice thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. Patrice bears all things. Patrice believes all things. Hope all things. Endure all things. Patrice never fails. Okay. Amen. Now, thank you very much for doing this. There's a reason for this. Yeah, you can sit down. Sorry. You can sit down. Sorry, guys. As you were reading it, how did you feel? I'd like one or two people to just share something about how they felt.
I couldn't read it.
You couldn't read it. Great. Who else? Found it difficult. Okay.
Challenging.
Okay. That's good. Because it is challenging. And this morning, we're going to be sharing something that's a bit challenging. When Rick asked me to share, I looked at the passage, and there are three things that the Lord laid on my heart that I would like to share. And you can find them on verse 5 and verse 7. So, one of it is, love does not seek his own. And then you come to verse 7, where you say, love bears all things. And then you come to the end of verse 7, you say, love endures all things. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to share your word with your people. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your care for us. We thank you for what you are about to do. We just want to give you praise. Father, we want to listen to what you have to say. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. You know, it's not by accident that we've been talking about love, because God wants to move the church one step deeper. He wants to do some work in each one of us. It's some work that requires a lot of shaking at the individual level. It's a work that will require a lot of commitment. As you read this passage, you realize that this is what your life, my life, is supposed to be. You know, the Bible said that Jesus is the love of God, you know, manifested in the flesh to us. And the song that we sang this morning was quite great, because it talks about God is looking for to bring sons into glory. And so, as God so loved the world that he gave his son, God so loved you, so loved the world that he gave you as well to the world. So just as Jesus was the manifestation of the love of God to the world, you and I have been called to be his love. So one of the reasons for you saying love is for you to believe, to start to believe that you are meant to be love. You are not meant to learn how to love, but you are meant to be love, to become love yourself. You are meant to become the manifestation, the personification of the love of God. So as we walk the streets of Swansea, whatever God, you know, leads us to go to, God wants his love to be manifested through us. So this is part of the reason for this little exercise, for us to see where we are at becoming and being love. And one of the things about love, and like what Hollywood like to show us on these love stories and movies, is that people don't realize that love requires sacrifice, and that love requires some time that we go through pain. It's not easy to love. Just look at Jesus and you understand the price of love. Just look at Jesus and you understand the price of love. Love will cost us. The question this morning really is, do we know what we're asking for? Love, Lord, I want to love like you. I get confused. I call my wife Love. And so sometimes I say Love, Lord, and it's all a bit confusing. So the question this morning is, are we really prepared to love? Because he's here, and he wants to lead us into his love. But are we prepared to take it? Are we prepared to take that step? Because it is going to cost us. And you can see from verse 5, it says, love does not seek his own. And when you go to, I've got a passage that is similar to this, that we find in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says this, verse 3 to 4, in fact. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others and better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of the others. So love does not seek his own. Love does not insist on his own rights. You know, we live in a society where everybody knows their rights. You know, Solomon is there. I'm sure the minute he start talking, he start telling me, Dad, this is my right, you know. This is my right to do that, you know. It's your duty to change my nappy. And it's my right to be fed, you know. We live in a society where we know our right from early age and we insist on our rights. But love does not seek his own right. Now, how does that fit in the whole context of loving? You know, some of us, I'm sure, are saying, well, you know, Rick, you're the pastor of this church. We're paying you good money. That's debatable. And you got to do your job. You got to preach on Sundays. You got to be visiting us. You got to be doing this. Okay, Rick is doing a great job. But, you know, the love that we are experiencing so far that I've seen is that we are very good when we congregate, when we come together. You know, like Rick said, we like the agape meals and, you know, it's really great. We're doing a good job. So we come together and, you know, we smile and we do all this stuff. But what God has laid in my heart is that we need to help Rick. Okay? The reason why we have a pastor is so that we can become pastors too. But we can become little pastors. But pastors to who? Pastor to each other. So that it's not just Rick doing all the work, but it's each one of us doing it. What does that mean? God wants his love to be a bit lateral, if that makes sense. Instead of the love of God being or flowing from Rick to all of us, as in Rick going to each and individual, each one of us, God wants his love now to begin to flow laterally. It means that David and Patrice, it's confusing, two Davids, it doesn't matter which one. It means Lisa and Gareth. It means Linda, my brother, your name? Wayne. And Wayne. So God wants that love to start crossing over. He wants his love to start flowing between ourselves. He wants us to sort of detach ourselves a bit from our little comfort zone, our little group that we are used to, and begin to show that love. Now, this requires a price. Because it means that you're going to have to forsake some of your own interests. It means that you're going to have to sacrifice some of the things that you set your mind to do. Okay, Saturday morning, when I wake up, what do? Usually I do this, usually I do this, and usually I do that. It means that we're going to have to think about changing our plans. I'm going to have to be thinking about changing my plans for Peter. I'm going to be thinking about changing my plans for Steve. Do we understand what I'm getting to? It means that I have to take my bag of interest in the morning, put it on the table, and look into that bag of interest and say, well, okay, where is my brother? Where is my sister in that? Now, I'm not saying for you to go around and forsake your family and not do all this sort of stuff. That's what I'm saying. But it's important that we begin to include our brother and our sister in our planning, in the way we show love, in the way we manifest love. And this leads us to the other verse that says that love bears all things. Now, I was struggling a bit explaining bears all things and endures all things. Say, well, isn't it about the same? That it can bear, love can bear all things, and love can endure all things. But this first part, they say that love bears all things. In fact, if we look at a scripture that I've written down somewhere here, In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it gives us a bit of indication as to what he's talking about. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Now, as we begin to show love to one another, as we begin to take initiative to demonstrate our love for one another, things are going to begin to happen. It means that we're going to start to open up to each other. Because we are very good at saying, Patrice, how are you? I'm doing great, brother. Okay, can I give you a hug and a kiss on the head? And that's it. But I've closed the door. Okay, that's it. No far, no further. What God wants is for his love to begin to flow between us. It means that when we come together, we shouldn't be talking about the weather. Okay? Okay, you can talk about the weather if you want. But we need to start getting closer to each other. See, one of the problems we have is that the love of God is here. The issue is how this love will begin to flow. God's love wants to flow, but God doesn't want his love to be like a rain that comes. He wants his love to begin to flow through each one of us. And often what we find is that there is this resistance from each other. Okay, I want to show love to Rick, but Rick is a bit closed. Not that. That's what he does when we meet. But the love of God wants to flow from me, because here's the situation. Each one of us flow in the love of God in different degrees. Okay, we don't. Our level of understanding or where we are with the love of God is not the same. And so what God wants is, if somebody's got more of his love, God wants that love to begin to flow into somebody who doesn't probably have as much. Now, what we find is that as this love wants to flow, we have this door that we put right in front of that person, which means that the love can't flow. And this is where the sacrifice comes in. Are we prepared to open up? And I hear you say, well, Patrice, you don't know. I mean, in the past, I've done it. And people, you know, I went to Swansea Market and everybody was talking about it. But that's true. That's part of our challenge, isn't it? You want to open up to your brother, you want to open up to your sister, but should I open up really? Do I really know Rick? How do I know that Rick is not going to tell Gareth, and Gareth is not going to tell Peter, and Peter is not going to tell Paul? So we find that challenge. How much do we trust each other? How much are we prepared to open up? Are we prepared to bear? Now, here's what happened. As you begin to open up to one another, you begin to discover the side of the other person that you've never discovered before. You're going to begin to realize that your brother is as irritating as you never realized. You're going to begin to discover that your sister is, my goodness, a pain in, I want to rest. Well, those of us who are married understand some of this. How we rub each other up and we begin to say, I never knew you were like that. Why didn't you tell me in the beginning that you were like this? You know, when we were courting, I saw that lovely side of you. You know, as you pray and you say, Lord, I really want your love. God is saying, okay, love bears all things. Are you prepared to bear all things? And so you begin, God begins to treat you like an orange, you know. Start to squeeze the juice out of you. Now, the question is, how good is that juice? Will it be tasty and nice? Or will it be that as God squeezes that juice out, I'll say to my brother, oop, that's not that nice. Can I hide it? Or am I prepared to say, yeah, I know, it's not tasty, it's not nice, but you're my brother, you're my sister, I trust you. Can we work together? Can we do something about it? Are we following each other so far? Yeah? sometimes, I like what Paul says, well, I couldn't even read it. Sometimes we don't realize what we're doing. Because God will operate the miracle. His love is going to be manifest in your life. But it's not going to happen in the way you think. One morning you wake up and you're all lovey-dovey. And you're hugging all your brothers and sisters. It can happen. But if you are going to be the manifestation of the love of God that bears all things, then the minute you pray for it, you're going to have the most irritating people on your way. Is that an answer to prayer? Yes. Patrice, of course it is an answer to prayer. Why is he bringing people who are irritating my way? Well, you say you want to be his love, which means you want to bear all things. And you see, it says here, bear one another in love, and say, forgiving one another. Why does he go on saying, bear one another in love, and he say, forgiving one another? Because things are going to happen. As we begin to open up to one another, things are going to happen. We're going to be saying things that are not going to be pretty. Because it depends on how much somebody presses your buttons. Yeah? You're a good Christian. Yeah? I'm not saying no. But it depends on how much your button is pressed. Okay, I might have a problem with Gareth, and I say, oh Lord, help me, you know, help me bear with Gareth's stuff, you know, whatever they are. And I persevere, and then God does it. See, yes. Now when Gareth does it, poof, I just hug him. But you see, this is where the danger is, because we begin to say, you know, that bit the Bible says, love bears all things. I'm there, you know, I'm there now. I bear all things. And God will bring you somebody who's probably 10 times more irritating than the next one. Now, the reason for that is because he wants to take you deeper in his love. It's not because he wants to persecute you and make your life difficult. But you can never tell how much of that part of love you've got until you are faced with it. How do you know? You know, I remember in my early days as a believer, you know, I was struggling with anger, you know, so not to explode, you know. And the Lord, I started to pray, the Lord started to do things. People were irritating me at school and different places, you know. And as I was trying to react, God reminded me, you pray for it, remember? I said, yes, I do. And then he does his work. You get to a place and you think, oh, now I don't get upset easily. And the next minute, your blood, you know, is really boiling. See, that person in front of you is almost killing you. I think it's about how much of his love we want. How deep we want to go. We are family, guys. We are family. We are his children. And John tells us, you know, where is God? I can't see him. Where is he? Is he here? Ah, well, I can't see him. Can you see him? It looks a bit like Peter. I think he's got Peter's beard. Or maybe the beard is a bit white. I need to paint that beard and then I'll have a picture of God. Is that what it looks like? Where is God? John said, you can't pretend to love God that you don't see and not love your brother. It's so easy because we don't see him. So I can say I love him. He's not here. So it's easy for me to say that. But Rick is sitting there. He's come to me and said, Patrice, I'm not happy with this thing you've done. And I'm like, what do you mean? That's terrible. I had to face Rick face to face. I had to face. you think I forgot your name? I had to face Jenny, David. D- This is where the love of God is. So we are on a journey. It's not an easy one, but it is achievable. It is doable, and God wants to do it. And I believe the reason why we're talking about love, and we've been talking about love, is because this is the time. And you say, well, where have we been all this time? What have we been doing with our life? God wants to take us to another level. That's what I believe. But it's going to cost us. It's going to mean forsaking our interests. So, God, love bear all things means that, you know, when I look at the Strong Concordance about the definition, it talks about enduring patiently. And I keep coming up back to this irritation and annoyance that, you know, you might find yourself in. It's because it's a situation in which you are unlikely to be calm and to be patient. But it means that I'm supposed to bear with my brother and my sister in silence, instead of swearing and, you know, see all kind of things. And then when I looked at endure all things, it's the same sort of bearing with one another. But what the Greek word seems to suggest is that you actually bear by standing behind. You support. So in other words, Rick is going through, you know, things in life. I want to be on Rick's side or stand behind Rick and say, brother, I'm here with you. I'm standing behind you. I'm supporting you. And together, whatever it is that you're facing, we're going to endure it together. Whatever it is that you're facing, we're going to be going through it together. The other one referred to the fact that things are happening that are causing reaction into my heart. It can be anger, frustration, irritation, as I said. And I have to be able to cope with her. So, Patricia, you don't know how he is. You don't know how she is. just live with her for a minute and you'll see. You know, it's a bit like having visits, you know, of grandparents. They come and, you know, they see the kids. And they're all nice, you know. Oh, yeah, I want my granddaddy, I want my grandmommy and the rest. You know, they show the nice faces. But, you know, they go a few hours, you know, with the kids. And then they'll disappear. So they do all the nice stuff. But, you know, you're going to be facing the kids on day in, day out. And I say, Patrice, why are you doing this to Joshua? And I say, well, you have no idea. I need to do that. The reason why I'm still coping is because I've been doing this. Say, oh, you can't do that. Come on, leave the boy alone. And you say, you have no idea, you know. You just been all nice, throwing all the chocolate and stuff, but you're going to disappear in a few hours, you know. So sometimes, you know, when you are faced with this thing, you say, well, Patrice, you really have no idea. This brother, this sister, really, 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 that, oh, I don't know. It's just every time I'm with them, they press my buttons, you know. I don't know. I just wish. It's God love at work, guys. You know, and as you face this thing, you wonder, Lord, can we really do it? How can we come to the point where we begin to experience that love? You know, one thing that this highlights is that our human love is not sufficient. You know, when you are squeezed hard and you find yourself falling flat on your face, it's not time for condemnation and feeling guilty. It's time for surrender. It's time to recognize that this is my love and it is limited. I can't cope with this. There's no shame in acknowledging and recognizing that I cannot cope. You know, for those of us blokes, you know, men, you know, we have our pride and, you know, we have to be tough on all things. And sometimes it's not easy for us to admit defeat and say, you know, I can't do it. But when you get pressed hard, you got to come to the point where you say, Lord, this is it. Put my hands up. I just can't do it. This is where the flow of love in your life will begin. Because as long as you're still holding on and believing that you can do it, you have love hovering. But when you come to the place where you say, Lord, it is really hard. You know, I like Peter, you know, with the chat they have with Jesus. He didn't have any problem to say, look, if that's the case, then, you know, maybe we shouldn't do this or that. It's too difficult. He was honest with the Lord. And we need to be honest with ourselves and be honest with the Lord as well and say, Lord, we really can't do it. We long for it. We desire it. But we can't do it. Help us. Because the question that we need to answer is, how do I get the love of God? Where is it? Is it in my heart? If it's in my heart, why am I struggling so much? But you see, the issue is not the fact that the love of God is not in you. The issue is that the love of God is in you and you are in you too. Does that make sense? The love of God is in my heart and I am in my heart too. And it's a battle as to who gained control of my heart. Who's going to take it over? Me? Or the love of God? Because the love of God say, well, forsake all your interests. And start thinking about the interests of others. And me saying, no, me interests come first. Mm-hmm. Talking a bit like a Geordie. Yeah? I want me interests. I want me interest first. I used to be in Newcastle over there, so I was a bit of a Geordie. Yeah? Me interest first, my interest first. And the love of God is saying, no, the interest of Peter first. So there's this battle that goes on in your heart. Who is going to give in? Oh, it's Saturday morning. I just want to lie in, you know, have such a tough day. Can you go and just do this for Rick? Oh, Lord, you have no idea. I mean, the week has been crazy, you know. And then we got the roof to paint and then the kitchen, you know. And I've got to take the kids to, you know, there's a list of things. Such a list. How do we manage to find time to love anyone? By that, I mean showing it practically. This is where love does not seek its own. I want to read a passage in Corinthians. It's Corinthians 5:5. For some reason, it's just jumped out of my print. Oh, it's there. Good. Corinthians 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Spirit and was given to us. Or the Spirit who was given to us. And when you read Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, I'm going to share now some of the ways in which the Lord has helped me accept some of these things that are very difficult to accept. As in paying some of this price that you had to pray to pay in order to experience his love. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in deed, in action, in word, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let me share something with you. You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was faced with a difficult choice. You remember how he prayed and how he started to sweat. You know, some version tells us that there was even blood coming out. He was really distressed. And when you read John 12, it tells you about how his soul was in distress. And he started to ask himself the question. He said, my soul is troubled. But what shall I do? Shall I say no, Father? Or shall I say, see, there was a battle, even the Son of God. And this was before Gethsemane. But when he got to Gethsemane, he started to pray. He said, "Father, is there any chance that this cup can move away from me?" And then after praying, he said, "Well, you know what? This is why I came all the way." And I said to the Lord, "Can you tell me a bit more about your experience?" And this is what he said. He says, "You know, as I was facing the cross and I knew what was going to happen, I knew the pain and the things that I had to go through. As I was faced with my will and the will of the Father, something made it all possible for me." And I said, "What made it possible?" He said, "As I was there agonizing, I saw Rick. As I was there agonizing, I saw Gareth. I saw Patrice. I saw Linda. I saw Jenny." And I said to myself, "They're beautiful. I love them. For their sake, I'm prepared to do it. It is too hard. It's too difficult. Nobody wants to die. But even if it's for one person, even if it was for Kerry, I would still do it. This is how much I love them." So if you're faced with these sort of challenges and you have to make the decision to step out of your comfort zone and show that love, maybe you don't want to think too much about Patrice, but think about Jesus. Whatever you do in word and action, if you think that the situation is too difficult, just think about Jesus. "So Lord, I wouldn't do it normally, but for you, Jesus, I will do it." And how does that become easy for you? Remember all that we sang today. What he did on the cross for you. Because he wants you to do all things in his name, because of him and for him. So it's our way of loving him back when we decide that, you know, I'm going to bury my interest and my comfort zone and I'm going to step out and show love. Say, "Love, it's difficult. Lord, it's difficult, but I want to do it for you." Believe me, when you begin to think about Jesus, things change. Your perspective begins to change. Because suddenly you're not seeing this irritating, annoying person, but you're seeing Jesus. And so Jesus covers that person. Jesus covers the faults and the mistakes of that person that you couldn't love because that's all you could see in them. As you begin to think about Jesus, it's Jesus that you see. It's the glory of God in your brother that you see. It's the presence of God in your brother that you begin to see. And so stepping out and loving is not such a difficult thing because it's Jesus in your brother. It's Jesus in your sister. Do you see the point I'm making? And the other thing that we read as well is that love is part of what is known as the fruit of the Spirit. So it's not a human fruit. It's not a fruit that, you know, we can produce ourselves. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So as the Spirit of God lives in you, the Spirit of God will begin to bear that fruit. But for that to happen, we need to cooperate. And this is why we have to be prepared to bear all things, to be prepared to not to seek our own interests, because that fruit wants to come out of us. And the other aspect is the fact that in Romans 5:5, we say the love of God, say the hope that we have does not disappoint, for the love of God is poured out into our heart by who? By the Spirit of God. So the love of God is a big river, it's an ocean. How thirsty are you? Are you ready to drink it? Are you ready to dive in it? Are you ready to be surrounded by that ocean? So that means that I've got to have this relationship with him that enables me to drink of that love. You know, we say so many things when we pray sometimes. But you know, what God we want is we come into his presence, we just sit there and we drink of his love. There's so much that we can drink, guys. For the love of God is poured in our heart by the Spirit of God. You can only have that when you have this intimacy, when you have this fellowship with him, when you make time with him. Again, that requires any price to pay. You got to be diligent. You got to make sacrifices. Something has to give for you to be able to position yourself in that place where you are able to drink of his love, where you are able to receive of his love. So that's how love comes. It's poured by the Spirit of God. It flows. This is why earlier I spoke about the fact that the love of God wants to flow between us. This river wants to flow. And if you think about this picture of these little rivers beginning to flow out of each one and pouring to the other, we begin to get wet. Okay? And suddenly the community church is turning into this river of the love of God. As we continue to do it to each other, as we enter in this, remember what Rick said, enter into him, that union with him Rick spoke about, you can see how everything fits in now. You know, everything we're sharing is not disconnected. It's all linked together. So as you enter this fellowship with him and spend time with him, the love begins to flow. But as the love begins to flow, that love is going to have to flow out. Otherwise, we have love constipation. If it's such a thing, being constipated of love. When as a young believer, somebody was preaching and they were talking about the cross, and they were explaining about, because there was this debate about, should we keep a cross, you know, in the church? Should Jesus be hanging on the cross? You know these debates in the church about the cross. And somebody said something that really stuck with me. He says, he was talking about, you know, the cross. And he was saying, well, you know, the vertical part of the cross is you reaching out to God and God reaching out to you. It's that relationship. And then this horizontal is reaching out to each other. Okay? So you're reaching out to God, receiving from him, and then you reaching out to one another. And then when you look into scripture, you understand why the commandment we're giving in this order, that you should love the Lord your God first and then love your neighbor. Why this order is because you need to love him, receive his love, so you can give it out. You cannot give out what you don't have. And this is why we've got to be honest with ourselves. Just because I see my brother showing that love of God, I don't need to force myself to try and do it. I got to come to the place where I'm honest with myself and say, I'm not where my brother or my sister is. And if we are actually fellowshipping and really allowing love to pour between us, I will have the courage and say, hey brother, how do you do it? I find it so hard to do this. How do you manage? And your brother will say, you know, this is how I do it. And that will save Rick a visit to go and do it. And this is how we become little pastors in the church, ministering to each other, learning from one another, building each other up, encouraging each other. We've got to begin to look in this direction, guys. As Rick asked me, and I went to the Lord, this is really what has been coming strongly to me. So the Lord has been saying, you want us to help Rick build. Okay? And the way we help build is this. It's begin to look at each other. You know, and one of the challenges we have is, how do you accept the love of God? Are you prepared to accept his love? You know, often it's easy for us to reach out, oh, Gareth, I want to do it for you. You know, it's really subtle, actually, because we don't realize how much control and selfish and the rest is hidden behind that. You see, I don't want Gareth to get close to me, so I've decided I'm going to go to Gareth all the time. Yeah, I'm going to bless him. And Gareth said, oh, Patrice, can I do it? So, no, it's all right, fine. I mean, I don't need that. Sometimes the truth is, it's okay for God to love Gareth, but it's not okay for God to love me. And sometimes our challenge is to make sure that we accept his love. Are we prepared to accept his love for ourselves? You know, if I ask a lot of you guys to show love for one another, I'm sure you're going to get up and do things, but are you prepared to receive it yourself? And so when I spoke about the obstacle that love faces when he wants to flow, in addition to what I've said, part of the challenge we have is this as well. Are we prepared to receive it? Am I prepared to open up and say, yes, love me? Or am I going to say, oh no, it's all right. I find it very difficult to receive. Oh, I used to, at least. And the Lord has to say to me, you know, are you aware that you are stopping me from blessing other people? Because when you say no to other people, you're not receiving their blessing. You're stopping me from blessing them. Because I want them to bless so I can bless them. I want them to give so I can keep giving. In fact, you are responsible for their spiritual constipation. Okay? I keep talking about constipation this morning. Think about the spiritual side, okay? So you are responsible for that because every time I want to pour my love into you from your brother, you keep saying, no, I'm fine, I'm okay. When the reality is, I'm not okay. Are we okay so far? So he's here and he wants love, but he doesn't want to do it without you and without me. He wants to do it through you and with me. And we got to be prepared to open up and to say, this is not me, but you know what? Jesus, for your sake, I'll do it.